You have your Bible tonight. Find, if you would, please, the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter number 26 will be our text tonight. Matthew 26. If I wanted to, I could have chosen Mark 14, Luke 22, and John 18 as our text for the passage of Scripture that we will find ourselves in is mentioned in all four of the Gospels. And what a joy it is to find one passage and read it from all four Gospels, getting different perspectives from the different men, of course, all under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God. And I left Sunday night telling the deacons that were in the office there that God had laid a devotional on my heart that I wanted to preach tonight if I could get it around and get it ready. God has enabled me that opportunity to do that. And so I have something I believe that will encourage us and instruct us and hopefully be something memorable for us and practical in our lives as believers. And I want to begin in the 69th verse of the 26th chapter of the book of Matthew. And I want to read you about an event in the life of the Apostle Peter. You're familiar with this, but let's read it. I'll read it out loud. You read it with me quietly. Let your eyes follow along. The Bible says in verse number 69, "Now Peter sat without in the palace, and a damsel came unto him, saying, Thou also wast with Jesus of Galilee. But he denied before them all, saying, I know not what thou sayest. When he was gone out into the porch, another maid saw him and said unto them that were there, This fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth. And again, he denied with an oath, I do not know the man. And after a while came unto him they that stood by and said to Peter, Surely thou also art one of them. And I want you to take a pen, if you would, and I want you to underline the rest of that verse. For thy speech bewrayeth thee. Bereath is the English word translated in the King James Version. I'll tell you what that is in just a moment. Then began he to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man. And immediately the cock crew. And Peter remembered the word of Jesus, which said unto him, Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went out and he wept bitterly. I was thinking about this passage and asking the Lord for messages and trying to get a direction for our Wednesday night Bible studies. And I cannot tell you how I was impressed by the Holy Spirit of God to come to verse number 73 in my heart, in my mind. I knew the wording of verse number 73. I knew of basically where it was in the scripture. I knew who it was said about, and I knew who said it. But I was overcome by that last part of verse number 73, where it says, For thy speech bewrayeth thee. That word bewrayeth thee is the combination of two words. Those two words carry with it the idea to make something, and then carries with it the idea of a manifestation. When you lump that word together, it maketh thee manifest. It's an exposure type of word. It's a giveaway, a dead ringer. It identifies you with someone or something. And in this context, it is said of them that are around Peter as he's outside while the Lord Jesus is being and taken in captivity in prison and getting ready for the cross. It is a confrontational moment in the life of Peter where he is identified based upon and made manifest based upon how he talks, based upon his speech. And I want to preach to you a message tonight simply entitled, What Does a Christian Sound Like? I preach sometimes, and you hear a lot of messages, on what does a Christian look like? What does a Christian act like? I don't know that I've ever preached a message on the subject of what does a Christian sound like. You know, the Bible has a lot to say about how Christians talk, what the words that come out of our mouths. I brought with me tonight something that is almost on the extinct species list, and that would be a book. We used to call them hardcover books. This is one of my study books. I preached a series of messages a while back entitled, What Does the Bible Say About That? Does anybody remember that? A few of them, the most godly, do remember that. So I have a book here, and it's just a help book. Anybody can get this, entitled, What Does the Bible Say About That? And if I wanted to preach a message to you, Christian, on how you talk, just listen to how the verses and subjects that are addressed in the Bible as they're divided in this book. I could preach to you messages on these subjects. A backbiting tongue. I could preach on being slow to speak. Bridling your tongue. I could preach on burning lips. By the way, the Bible says burning lips and a wicked heart are like a potsherd covered with a silver dross. Evil communications. The Bible talks about excellent speech. Fitly spoken words. Flattering mouths. By the way, the Bible will teach you to be very, very afraid and cynical and skeptic and nervous about somebody who tells you that you're better than you really know yourself to be. Anytime somebody flatters you, the Bible tells you to take a step back and beware. The flattering mouth. I'll read you the verse. A lying tongue hateth those that are afflicted by it, and a flattering mouth worketh ruin. Just put that somewhere in your brain. You may need it one day. I could preach you on good words, grievous words. I could preach you on how God speaks, how he speaks now, how not to answer a fool, how you should not speak, how you should speak. I could preach to you about verses on the perverseness that's within the tongue, righteous lips, soft words, tale bearers, tattle tailors, froward mouths, a fruitful mouth, how the Holy Spirit ought to be in our words, the lip of truth, the lip of knowledge, the lip of the ungodly, the mouth of a fool, the mouth of the just, the mouth of the righteous, the mouth of the upright, the mouth of the wicked, the multitudes of words, the sweetness of the lips, the things which proceed out of the mouth, the tongue of the wise, the words that wise men speak, the words that are pure, the words of the wise, those that are hasty in their words, those that do not keep their tongue, those that do not speak maliciously, those that flatter with their tongue, those that have a perverse tongue, those that keep their tongue, those that repeat a matter, those that speak by the Spirit of God, those that speak deceitfully, those that speak evil of others, those that speak right, those that speak the truth, those that speak uprightly, those that utter a slander. What should not proceed out of your mouth? The Bible says, what should proceed out of your mouth? The Bible talks about whisperers, gossipers, those that hold their tongue, those that are full of words. The Bible talks about those who talk too much. Can I get an amen there, right? The Bible talks about those that speak evil, speaking forward, speaking perverseness, speaking vanity, those that speak from their own visions of their hearts, those that speak wisdom, people that teach with their mouth, wholesome tongues, whose lips talk of mischief, why you should not speak to a fool. I would say the Bible says a lot about how we talk. Amen? You're in there somewhere, by the way. So what does a Christian sound like? Peter finds himself in a situation where he's there the night the Lord has been arrested. He finds himself separated from the Lord, and he's trying to fit in. He's trying to hide. He's really scared out of his mind about what is going on. He finds himself in a place where he should not be. And the last thing that Peter wants to happen to him is for him to be made manifest or to be made known. And so as you read in the other gospel writers, you will find that he goes there to warm himself. He's cold. You find that he's confronted by multiple people, and the confrontation is that he is somehow identified with the Lord Jesus. And one of the ways that they identify him there is by the way he talks. And if you notice that in verse number 69, there is a locale or a dialect or an accent that comes out of the region of Galilee. If you were to go to Mark chapter 14, verse number 70, you find that in the passage, they're linking his accent like a southern accent to those of us that come from the north, or those of you that would come from countries outside of the United States. You reckon that accent. And there was a region, the Galilean region where we were been, that would be way far away from Jerusalem. And the people talked a little different up there. They sounded a little different up there. And to a degree, there is some recognition within the accent. But I don't think that you can just stop the narrative there. And I do believe there's room for application spiritually. And so I want to make 3 points tonight. And with each point, I want to make an application. Here's my first point. Write it down. Peter's speech was noticed by the unsaved world. Peter was reckoned and made manifest by his speech, and his speech was noticed by the unsaved world. I do think it had just a human accent to it. However, I think with spiritual application, you will find that the unsaved world recognized his speech and then linked his speech that he was with Jesus. Christian people talk like Jesus. Acts chapter 4, verse 31, when they were talking about, the unsaved world was talking about the disciples, they said they were ignorant, they were unlearned men, but they marveled that they had been with Jesus. So on a Wednesday night Bible study, when really and truthfully, we probably have mostly Christian people in our circle tonight, what does a Christian sound like? A Christian will sound like Jesus. His words will link him from the unsaved vantage point that this guy is with Jesus, which means that the Christian's verbalness, the Christian's words, his sound is different than the unsaved. When Jesus came into your heart, he came into the place where your words come from. A true born-again believer does not talk like he did prior to salvation. Pastor, what would Jesus sound like? My words, when you're saying that my words would link me to Jesus, that means that my words coming from that heart that has been redeemed and transformed and from the nature of Christ means that my words carry with them the effects of the Lord. They carry his peace. They carry his kindness. They carry his tenderness. They carry his power. They carry his love. They're different than the way other people talk. One of the ways you know somebody has been born again is they talk different than when they did before they were saved. And when the new believer speaks the way, unfortunately, sometimes he did prior to when he was saved, man, you sure do reckon that within your mind and within your brain. I can tell you what type of Christian you are by the way you talk. I can tell you whether you walk by faith if you talk with fear. I can tell you if you really and truthfully have the love of God by the way you talk about others. I can tell you if really and truthfully, if you have been touched with the kindness of God by if there's kindness in your voice. It's interesting that the unsaved world reckons us by how we talk. Think about that when you go to work tomorrow. Think about that when you're on the job, Mr. Construction Man, when you're in the office, Miss Secretary, when you're working with the guys. This is how God's man was identified in the unsaved world. He talked differently than everybody else around him. That ought to be the way Christians live. Amen? What does a Christian sound like? He sounds like Jesus. He talks with the nature of Christ. I want you to notice something also about the way he talks. Three times, Peter tried to hide or distance himself from who he really was. We know him to be a believer at this time. We know him to have confessed the Lord Jesus as the Christ, the Son of God. And we know that he finds himself here, but he couldn't do anything about his accent. He couldn't do anything to eliminate his verbiage. And so, yes, as there was probably a human accent to that, spiritually speaking, Christians cannot help but talk like Jesus. You can't hide it. The Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. If Christ is in my heart, then I can't suppress the verbiage. I can't hide it. If I'm going to call myself a Christian, and if God is going to indwell me and live in me and work in me, then it's going to just naturally be coming out, which means Christians naturally talk about the Lord. We naturally talk about righteous things. We naturally talk with faith. These are the effects of having the Lord Jesus within me. And I can't hide it, but I can manipulate it. Interesting. Write this down. Number one, you should have wrote down, it was noticed by the unsaved world and they linked him to Jesus. Number two, he could not hide. He could not hide his words. And the application to that would be he had to manipulate his words to distance himself from Jesus. Now, before we cast a whole lot of stones at Peter, let him that is without sin cast the first stone. So watch what Peter does here. When you come down to verse 73, it says, "And after a while came unto him they that stood by and said to Peter, Surely thou art one of them, for thy speech bewrayeth thee. Then began he to do what, class? Curse and swear. Let me ask you a question, Christian. Do you curse? To me, a lot of things that ought not to be part of a believer's life. Cursing is one of them. Pastor, I struggle with cursing. Okay. Here's what I want to say about that. Why? Why? Why would you struggle with cursing? Well, if you'd have known me before I got saved, you would understand. Well, then I would say to that statement, then what about the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanseth me from all my sin? Well, Pastor, sometimes I just can't help it. What do you mean you can't help it? There's something called temperance from the Holy Spirit of God that gives you self-control, spiritual self-control. You might not be able to help it, but the Holy Spirit can help it. Well, Pastor, yeah, I don't really believe as a Christian you really can find any excuse for cursing other than you just want to. So, and I have a personal illustration about this. I have a couple of personal illustrations about this. But I remember my senior year of high school destroying my spiritual testimony with cursing. And I did it on purpose. And I did it for the exact same reason that Peter did it. In some way in my mind, to some of other people, I wanted to be distanced from the Lord. And the only way I knew how to do that and to identify myself with them was to kind of manipulate my verbiage. So every time I would say a curse word, the Holy Spirit would just kind of prick my heart. If you've ever had that happen, say amen. And so Peter's there, and he can't hide his speech. And the speech links him to Jesus. The only thing he can do is he can manipulate that speech to distance himself from the Lord. The number one reason that Peter manipulates his speech to distance himself from the Lord is really fear. He's scared out of his mind. And I'm not casting a stone at Peter at something that we are guilty of. But a Christian ought not to manipulate his verbiage in any capacity to identify with someone as opposed to identifying for the one that died for us. I know, I'm touching a deep, deep nerve tonight. Can I just say that I'm guilty of this sometimes too? I have been. I haven't cursed in a long, long time. Last time I think I said a curse word was probably my senior year of high school. And praise God, he wiped my mouth clean. Back in the day, your parents could wash your mouth out with soap. Anybody ever have that happen to you? Multiple times. Tone dish soap. I remember my dad scrubbing it on my teeth. I heard a word in the neighborhood I didn't know was a bad word. Get a mental picture of this. We're sitting at the dinner table. My dad's at the head. The table's going this way. I'm right here on the right. My brother is right here. My brother said something stupid to me, and I just used the word that I had heard. And my dad just wham. Next thing I know, I'm in the bathroom, and he's scrubbing the tone on my teeth. By the way, it tastes awful. After the third time, you'd think I'd learned my lesson, right? Christian, why would you manipulate your speech to curse? Tell me that's not you on the job. Tell me that's not you in some friend circle. Tell me that's not you when you go out. If you are manipulating your words, tell me that every time it comes out your mouth, it literally, you just feel the presence of the Holy Spirit of God saying, why? I want to be honest with you. As I deal with people and I pastor, I'm not sure that Christian people even think twice about cursing. I'm not even sure we know that we do it sometimes. They do it in my presence. Oh, sorry, Pastor. Don't say sorry to me. Say sorry to God. I'm not even sure we think about it. But how does a Christian, what does a Christian sound like? Well, a Christian sounds like he's been with Jesus. And Peter here is manipulating his words. I think he got to the point where he just wanted to distance himself. And so he did that. And then you notice in Matthew chapter 26, and I'll finish here, but I want you to go to Luke chapter 22. Make your way there. Matthew, Mark, Luke. Come on, go with me. Luke 22. I'm almost done. Look, if you would, at verse 59. And about the space of 1 hour, after another confidently affirmed, saying, of a truth, this fellow also was with him, for he is a Galilean. Peter said, man, I know not what thou sayest. And immediately while he spake, the cock crew, and the Lord turned and did what, class? Looked upon Peter. Peter remembered the words of the Lord, how he had said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And Peter went out and wept bitterly. Number one, his speech was noticed by the unsaved world that he was different. That needs to be true about you. The unsaved world needs to be able to hear you talk, and they need to think, there's something different about this person. This person talks like nobody we even know about. This person talks churchy. This person talks religion. This person talks like Jesus. That ought to be a compliment to us. Then we need to understand, if you're saved and you walk with God, you can't hide righteous words from coming out. It's just normal for God's people to talk like that. I mean, you want to talk, as you're filled with the Holy Spirit, your words are tendered by that. You might be able to manipulate them. Why would I want to manipulate my words to be like an unsaved crowd and not continue to keep my words exalting the Lord Jesus? Then you need to understand this. God hears what you say. God heard Peter deny him, Jesus did. He heard him curse, and he heard him swear by an oath when he should not have done that. And I submit to you that the Lord Jesus hears our words too. I don't think we think about that. Not only does he hear the words that we speak vocally, but he hears the thoughts that are within our mind. Well, Pastor, I didn't curse out loud, but I sure do curse within my spirit, within my quietness. He knows that. The effect, when Peter realized that the Lord heard his speech and heard his cursing, it broke Peter's heart, and he wept. He wept. He wept because he realized that part of that was a denial of his Lord. And by the way, when I have to manipulate my words as a believer to sound like the unsaved world and it distances me, that really is a denial of my Lord. I don't know about you, but I kind of think about the fact that God hears what I say. If you believe God hears what you say, say amen. Please tell me you don't go to work and talk different than you talk here. God hears that. I'll prove it to you. Go to Job chapter 38. Pretty encouraging. Job's in the back here to the left. He's in the Old Testament. Right before the book of Psalms. Job's been foaming at the mouth for a long time. I don't know that he's been cursing, but he's been complaining. And if you look at Job 38, verse number 1. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, "Who is this that darkeneth counsel by what, class? Words." And God goes on to say, words without knowledge. God has been listening to Job talking to his friends. And God says, what are you doing? What are you saying? You're darkening counsel with words without knowledge. I'll make my conclusion. No place in the life of a believer for cursing. No place. Nothing shows a lack of spirit filledness or fullness like cursing. Nothing shows spiritual immaturity like cursing. How does a Christian sound? He sounds like Jesus. Amen? Here's what you don't know. The unsaved world is watching us like crazy. You can witness to them for years. One curse-filled lace sentence, and you have just annihilated the reputation. Let me speak to those of you that are in charge of people. You cannot work people, tell them you're a Christian, present to them the gospel, and curse them like crazy when they do something wrong. You can't, out of the mouth can't come that type of mixed signal. You can't do that. Can't do that. And there's no place for a Christian to manipulate his words to distance himself outside of the Lord. Man, when I was a kid, I was a Christian, but nobody in the neighborhood was a Christian. Man, they picked on us like crazy. You got to go to church. You got to do this. You can't do this. Blah, 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 blah. One day I'd had about all I could stand, like Popeye. So I went to my brother and I said, listen, I won't tell if you don't tell. Well, I won't tell if you don't tell what? I won't tell if you curse and you don't tell if I curse. Deal. Right? Do you know, my dad never sat me down and taught me how to curse, but I was good at it. We started cussing. I had to force those words out of my mouth, but I forced them. Man, one day I was at church, and my dad was preaching, and he must have said something, and the Holy Spirit of God just lit me up, tore me up. And I came from all the way from the back, and I fell down on my knees, and man, God, I'm sorry. I haven't been doing right. So my dad's the preacher. He's standing right here. His son's at the altar crying. You know what their dad's going to do, right? So he comes down to pray with me. All right. puts his arm around me. Son, what's the problem? I've been sinning. Okay. Well, what have you been doing? I really didn't want to tell him. I said, Dad, man, I've been cursing and I've been hurting the Lord and I'm so sorry. And then I was so afraid. I said, and by the way, Aaron should be here too. My brother has never forgiven me for that moment. I think a lot of us have heard our testimonies because we don't talk like Jesus talked. You go to work tomorrow. You concentrate on how you sound. Amen? Amen. Let's pray.